slow down. This is how it goes down. Sit back, get back, and listen to the sound as we talk about what's going on around town. And don't get caught because I might get clapped. Roll call. What's happening around your town? Coming through the city, guys, we're live in town.
You are tuned in to the Evening Showdown, where we party all night. But don't be afraid to let it all out. We're Andrew.
Is that us, me?
Yo, what's up? This is Culture Zine Radio Network. What's going on, man? Man, drop my intro for me, man. I love Angelique, but drop my intro.
Hey, you are now tuned in to Culture Zine Radio Network, where urban culture lives.
That's right. This is Culture Zine Radio, where urban culture lives. Tonight, we got a very special guest. Her name is Charlene Head from Heads Up Marketing. You know, I've known Charlene a long time. We won't get into no age and make us feel old, but Charlene is responsible for marketing a lot of the records you guys hear. She's marketed some of the greatest artists in hip-hop and R&B in this generation. And with that said, how you doing, sister?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm very happy that you came on, and we're going to get right down to this. We want to talk about how you market records and how you get involved and what it takes to market records. Before we get into any of that, why don't you explain to the people your track record and why I say you're responsible for some of the greatest artists in this hip-hop generation?
Oh, thank you. I want to first say thank you for inviting me on your show. I greatly appreciate it. Very humble. Like you said, we don't want to date ourselves, but I've had the privilege and pleasure to work with some, I guess, some legendary lyricists. Like, I worked with Scarface and the Ghetto Boys, worked with artists like Tretch from Naughty by Nature. Don't want to single out names, but anywhere from De La Soul, 50 Cent, Warren G. I first worked with
Drake.
Wu-Tang. Yes, quite a few people.
Yeah. While we get ready to talk about that, let's go into this conversation about how you got into this industry.
I got into the industry. I was actually loved music from day one. I listened to everything from R&B, soul, pop, rock, everything. Grandmother was into blues, had a mother who was into soul, had cousins that were into rock. So listen to everything from Van Halen to B.B. King to Rolling Stones to Gladys Knight, so I was all over the board. But while I was in college, I was an undeclared major, University of Houston, and when you have to go to your counselor and they say, write down some of the things you like, wrote down I love music, and went out for some internships at radio stations, studios, and got an internship at KMJQ, Magic 102 in Houston. And from there, a free intern, worked like a dog in every department. I think that's key. You have to work for free and do any and everything. And from there, just learn and have the opportunity to get a job in the programming department as an assistant to the program director. And from there, I was able to learn more about how radio works, how the record labels and record executives work records. And from there, I was offered a job to work for Tommy Boy Records at the time for Texas for street promotions. And that's where it started, working street promotions. getting in the streets, going to a retail, radio, clubs, everything. And from there, I guess I was very good because I then started working projects for Priority Records, Warner Brothers, Jive, Steve Riskin, Penalty. And then that's when even worked at Uptown and met Mel Smith. He got hired to come to Rap-A-Lot, well, go to Rap-A-Lot, rather, to head up the street division. And he hired me to handle street promotions nationwide for Rap-A-Lot Records, which, when you think about it, being a female working street promotions for Rap-A-Lot Records, it was a feat in itself. So, and from there,
I agree.
Yes. So, and then from there, was hired by Virgin Records, relocated to California to become the director of rap promotions, and from there went to Warner Brothers and DreamWorks and worked at BET for a little bit, and then I was like, you know what, I wanted to do other things, develop projects, do other things, so I started Heads Up Marketing.
Well, that's how you do it. See, this is how you do it. You guys got to pay your dues. And, you know, me and Charlene were a lot of them street things together, so I'm definitely
that's
my sister's fan. You know, you got to start and be willing to work your way up. You guys want to come into this industry and you want the million-dollar deal and the platinum single and, you know, you think you're going to get the million-dollar promotion. And to be honest with you, half the artists that you hear right now have been working in this industry for a decade or more trying to just get in the door. So no one comes into the door as a platinum artist. These things you guys have to understand.
No. And I think it's kind of like a curse. The internet has made it to where people think that they can just go and download some programs, get in the studio, and make a hit, and then become a millionaire and live a certain lifestyle. I can't even say 1% of that even happens.
Yeah,
I
agree. A lot of these kids don't get that.
But
they
the
don't
internet
really
definitely,
that.
Yeah, the culture, we live in an ADD society, and we live in a, no one wants to pay any type of dues. No one wants to work for free. Nobody wants to grind anymore. Or they want to grind with dollar bills right in the beginning.
Right. I know there was a whole lot of days where I was the intern, the street promoter, the coffee getter, the door opener,
And was talked to kind of a little crazy, and, you know, but then you accepted it because you're like, okay, I am, you know, going to be here because you're learning. At the end of the day, the goal you're going after. So even if you're getting coffee or, you know, got to run out for errands, you know that you're not there. You're there for a goal and for a reason.
Well, see, I think that you're right because, you know, we came from a generation. I think we're one of the last of those generations that we had to go out. These guys don't really even understand what the promo tours that we had to go on and all these different parts of marketing. These kids think, oh, I drop a single. And it was a long time, but we got the single. We were working even in the doors at MTV. Now they think, oh, I dropped my record. It should be all over. No.
You meet a lot of people now. I've had a conversation actually today. And the first thing that people say, oh, I got the single, and I'm shooting my video in a couple of weeks. And it's like, okay. Well, how do you know if that's the single that people are going to gravitate to? So many people are like, oh, I'm going to shoot a video, and then I'm going to get paid. But again, we in the YouTube era and the internet where people think that's how it works.
Have you ever had this? I had a kid come up to me probably about a couple months ago. Man, my people, everybody in my neighborhood loves my record. Man, I'm hot on YouTube. Okay. What does that mean? You ever had that happen to you?
Yes. I don't know what that means. Because, again, when people say that, and I've actually had a meeting, I keep going back to a meeting, with some young guys, and they was like, oh, I'm hot. I'm like, okay, if I go to your neighborhood right now and knock on several doors, will your neighbors that have kids, will they know that you're a rapper? Or, better yet, if I go to the high school or junior high in your area, and if I mention your name, can I get a response like, everyone in that school knows you? And the person said no. Okay, that's a problem.
Right.
But you mean to tell me the hundreds of people, because normally when they say, oh, I'm blowing up on YouTube, when you go and look, it's maybe a few hundred views. Those people are all over the world.
Right.
Is that really saying a lot?
No, because, you know, they may have clicked on it because somebody sent them to it, or, but in your neighborhood, how many records are you selling? People don't really understand this, you know, and they don't get that what urban, I like to really look at these things and I say, you know, there's a difference between street marketing and urban lifestyle marketing. You have to know, if you want to be a hit in urban lifestyle marketing, brandable, marketable, you have to first take the streets. If you're not taking and controlling the streets, my guest last week said, you know, a label pumps about $1 million into you, you know, for your album, and that's really on the low end. You know, what's gonna make this label put $1 million into you if you're not giving me what I need? Just because your homeboys tell you your record's good, or your girlfriend and your mama, who's your family, gonna tell you your record's good, that doesn't mean that Hot 97 or you know, Hot in Atlanta is going to play it. And they don't really realize that.
No, you're absolutely right. And it goes back to being marketable and just realistically, we're in a day and age that we have more artists than consumers because everyone is a singer or a rapper. And sometimes people really need to be truthful and really see, okay, am I okay? Am I just all right? Am I just spinning my wheels?
Right, that's right.
And I understand a lot of people say, well, there are some artists on the radio, we won't say any names, that aren't good. But
there are
quite a few artists on the radio that's just commercially that I can't understand. You can't understand a word they're saying.
I agree.
Need a dictionary and everything else to follow. You need closed caption and everything else to follow them. But
I agree.
But you don't know that those artists, they were grinding. They were working, they were doing a lot to even build momentum to get them where they are. So sometimes, some things, lightning can strike in some places, but the reality is not everybody can be a star or just break in this industry.
And a lot of people don't understand that it's not always the artist. Sometimes, most of the time, you and I and a lot of other people that play the back role understand it's the machine, it's the power that lies not on the throne but behind the throne that makes the throne shine. And a lot of people aren't willing to put in that work. And with that, I want to go back a little ways, and I want you guys to understand, man. I mean, you know, go to that 90 by Nature, man. Show you how long it takes to grind. You know, I remember when groups like that were independent, before they got signed. So what she's basically trying to tell you is this hit that we can already play for 90 by Nature, it took a long time to break. Go to that. This is back when I think you were at the Tommy Boy, right? When this broke.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Go to that Naughty by Nature for me.
Yeah. Well, the Naughty, that was development because they were buzzing in their area. And
mm-hmm.
that's when they got a deal with Tommy Boy, but it was because of the work that they was doing, and they was dropping their own singles and putting in the work and doing shows and just being everywhere.
And being roadies for Latifah.
For no pay. That's
and being
the
roadies for Latifah, yep, they were.
And yeah. They
Pop
were,
their records
you
for
know,
me.
Being roadies, carrying records, doing all of that. And, again, they humbled themselves, and they knew they had something. They knew they were talented. But at the end of the
yeah.
day, you have to humble yourself because they waited for their time. And that's another thing, too. A lot of people, I don't know if it's just the age we're in, but there's not a lot of humbleness, if that's the word. Everybody is now, it's my time, I need to hear it, and people not really mastering their craft.
True.
But I think, too, people are looking at, well, if that person get on, or if that person's doing it, or if that person looks like that, or that person is that age, or that person is this, then I can do it. And
that's
not necessarily true.
You got to put your work in. You go on there.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
We're going to come back. You guys are listening to Culture Zine Radio, where urban culture lives. Drop that. Naughty by Nature. right, welcome back to Culture Zine Radio, where Urban Culture Lives. Check it out. We with Ms. Charlene Head of Heads of Marketing. Question for
oh
you,
my
sister.
Goodness.
What's
okay.
Up? I have a question. You know, sometimes we have to tell these young artists, look, you may be better off doing this than that. And that blow kind of hurts them. I was one of those guys that was a DJ. And someone mm-hmm. says, you know, you're a good DJ, but you'd be better on the business side. And I understood that. So sometimes we have to teach these kids the transitional part of this industry. You know, most people don't really realize most artists, especially rappers, get one album. Very rarely do they get the second, third, fourth, and fifth album. That doesn't typically happen like they fantasize. So we have to also want to build the business side of this culture. And what do you suggest when you talk to someone and you know they're better at marketing? You say, man, you did a great job of marketing your record. Not to say that you're an untalented artist, but the way you marketed this record, you might be better off going down and talking to your to a marketing department and getting an internship than thinking you're going to be the next Cube. Have you ever had that conversation with someone and really trying to push them towards where we are on the marketing side and branding part of this industry?
Yes, I actually have, because I think it's, at the end of the day, you want to be honest, because like someone came to you and said, you know, you might be better with a business on the business side versus DJing. Now, I know a lot of people have the dream in their hearts and want to see the life of glamour, but a lot of people don't realize that a lot of people that's behind the scenes, that's the puppet masters, are doing more than what the artist is. Sometimes it's the person you see on stage, until they get to a certain level, everything is marketing and promotions.
Correct.
And
very correct.
Yes, I've had quite a few conversations with people. When you're listening to them, you've seen their product. If it's polished, if the graphics are good, you find out who did the graphics, who put everything together. And yes, you know what? You might be more prone, you might be more geared to being behind the scenes. But a lot of people, it's hard to get the dream out of their head. But
true.
Yes, it's always, you always want to talk to someone and say, you know what? Education is very key for anything. Get as much education you can. Because being an athlete or being the biggest rap artist or the biggest anything, that star only shoots so many times with so many people. So education, working behind scenes, getting your business skills, all of that is very vital. And that'll go further than some careers.
No, I definitely agree. Yeah. I'm one of those guys. I went to college on a football scholarship, shattered my knee, lost my scholarship, you know, came back home, went to another university. Because I had a great grade, got the business degree and understanding. So I agree.
Yeah.
Shouts out to UCR for that, you know. But,
yeah.
You know, the reality is you got to go get that degree and you got to get that paperwork and understand that this is a business. And what I'm trying to
everything's
do here and what we're doing here is trying to show that this is not just show, this is a business. And the players that make this business work and run are the A&R guys, are the marketing people, are the booking agents. You know, the stars, this is why we named the show Inside the Game, because we're trying to give you guys some insight. So I'm opening up my phone book and some very gracious friends that are willing to come out here and really talk to you guys and tell you guys what this is really about. It's not just about, it takes a lot of work for you to even be nominated for a Grammy. So all those people, when they say and everybody else at the record label, they're thanking those people because they can't name them all. They're thanking all of those people who put up the overnight sessions and missing the weekends and all these things to make this record work going out and begging radio DJs to play this record. And that's
but
where, you know, people like Charlene
people,
and them has done that.
Yeah. But think of all the artists that are like the superstars right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like Pharrell. Like Pharrell. Pharrell is like one of the top of the one of the top people right now. But think about when Pharrell first started back in Teddy Riley's days.
Yeah.
He interned
for
Teddy Riley. I mean, God.
Right.
So you got to look at it. That was late 80s, 90s. So Pharrell has been grinding. Then he did the Neptunes. But, if, you know, then the Neptunes.
Producing some of that SWV stuff for free.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. So, and then like 50 Cent. 50 Cent had a deal with Jam Master Jay, and he was putting out his own stuff, and nobody really didn't, he even said nobody really was checking for him or doing anything, but he was grinding for years until he became, you know, till he got a hit record. Jay-Z, all the people that are on top of the, you know, Forbes and everything, it took them a while to do that. But again, for every 50 Cent you hear or every Pharrell, there are tens of thousands of Pharrells that you will never hear.
Right.
Or tens of thousands of 50 Cent or tens of thousands of Lil Wayne. There are only so many that
make it through the whole.
That will make it. That will make it. And it's sad. Because working at a label, yeah, for every artist that you see hit, we've had several. And, you know, as a DJ and some working records, for every hit record, you have to have 10 or 15 dog records that didn't do anything.
I remember
didn't
sitting down
light of day.
With a lot of those guys, even when, you know, I remember when we were all over at Priority and listening to the record going, that's not going to be the hit. But sometimes the label thinks it's always going to be the hit, and the DJ will flip the record over and play the B-side. And, you know, again, that's what we talked about when you said, oh, they shot the video for this, and they give this record to be the hit, and they flip it over, and the other side's the hit. A lot of people don't realize there's a lot of records that get shelved because what they planned to do with that product didn't work, and some DJ flipped it over, played the other side. Now they got to redo that whole marketing plan. People think, oh, I just shoot the video, I'll do this and do that, but they don't really understand the hours, the map that hours of planning and intricate networking and trying to break these artists in smaller markets before you spend up. There's a budget. People don't even understand you need a budget to do these things. You need people that are going to work. You need street teams. You know, they don't really understand. They can, you know, we're going to go hand out some flyers. You need a street team. You need fleet DJs. You need DJs. You need to know which DJs are.
You still need to be
you
putting
know
stuff
all
out. You need to be. You need to be putting out singles or even your honing your skills. You need to. I went to a showcase in Houston a month ago because and one of a friend of a friend had someone there that was on the showcase. And they wanted me to come out to it. Okay, I go to the showcase. It just let me a quick story. Go to the showcase. This showcase started at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. 10 o'clock, he was the person was going on. So you do a song, you do two songs, and then they critique it and keep going for the chance of opening up for an opening act at the House of Blues.
Okay.
So it's like, okay. And then the guy gets on, horrible. I sat there and watched a good 10 acts. Everybody was horrible. But they paid the money to go through the showcase. That's a whole nother show in itself. And talked to the guy who they wanted me to come out to see. I was like, okay. So what is your, I forgot his name. But he was talking about the song he was rapping about was weed. And this is where the marketing comes in. He was talking about toking and smoking and blah, 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 blah. Okay. So who do you try to market to? What's your audience? Oh, I want to empower the kids and show the kids. I want to talk to the youth. And right then and there, I was like, oh, my God. I want everything is about the youth and empowering. I said, but you just performed the song where all you talked about was smoking weed. Oh, well, you know, that's just to get on. But I really want, I'm like, so your message is you're talking about weed, and I'm looking on the YouTube, every few seconds you're just blowing smoke. You're just blowing smoke. Oh, and then he did another song because of the whole hands up.
Yeah.
The gentleman that died, so he did a, you know, a hands up type of song, tribute song, because that's where I'm strong with my message. And I'm like, and I kind of put something in his head, and I talked to his manager. I said, you guys need to sit at the table and figure out what you're trying to do. And the manager even was like, you know, I never thought of it like that. We was just, you know, doing something, you know, like you want to do a tribute song to Michael Brown. That's Michael Brown, hands up and this, that. And then you singing about weed and token, and you got a video where you just smoking. But then you got another video with tribute to Michael Brown. You all over the place.
Right.
I said, I would rather you not even, you can mention him, but don't do a tribute song. Just do your smoke thing. Just, if that's what your message is, then do it. Don't, you can't straddle the fence because, again, when Snoop first came out, Snoop is an icon, but we knew Snoop for what he did. That's what he did.
Right.
Snoop never switched to anything. He showed his authentic self, and that's what he was.
Right.
Snoop,
like the Ghetto Boys.
From day one,
never
and
changed.
That's what we knew he was.
Right. Like the Ghetto Boys. Never changed. They came out the way they were, and they,
you know,
stuck to,
yeah, it. Yeah. And that's the other thing about marketing. Whatever, if whatever you are, you need to stick to that. But
see, you guys have to understand that you guys create an image. And then I'll give you an example. I had an artist that was actually marketing within their song. They were talking about a certain form of alcohol. And it was a brand that was already out. And I told them, you know, your song is clean. And it's something you can get the brand to be a part of. But you can't be, you know, saying certain things and then expect them to jump and risk their brand because you're acting crazy. You guys have to understand that it's a marketing person that's got to help create that image. Then they got to sell it to somebody. Somebody's got to buy this product. Somebody's got to buy this image. And somebody's got to push it. And the only way those things are going to work is if you brand yourself a certain way and not put yourself, like you said, you're going to do the Woody song, but then you're going to do Michael Brown. You're not helping yourself here at all.
You're all over the place because you're reaching.
You're all,
and
yeah,
now you don't know. You letting people know you don't know exactly what you're doing. Because, you know.
Correct.
And you know what? One of the artists that I have had the privilege of working with, and I would say that, you know, some people, this is just me, and I do a disclaimer. These are my opinions. This is what I, you know.
Don't worry. I say the same thing. So
opinions and the, or mine and mine's alone. Drake. If I could have signed a Drake, I would love it to this day. Even now, if I could find, again, someone like a Drake. Because I'll tell you why. Drake is the type of person, and again, another person who grind for years and
right.
did mixtapes and did everything and was everywhere and, you know, did everything to be who he is now. He's the type of artist that you could take him to a Nickelodeon or the Kids' Choice Awards. And the kids love him.
Mm-hmm.
And the same night, take him to the most hood, ghettoed out spot, and the people love him. Then after that, take him to a strip club, and people love him. Then the following
right.
day, take him to, say, a Democrat convention type of event, or a Republican type of event, and people love him.
Right.
Everybody
and
loves him.
And then you can take him to a model shoot, and he does well.
That's what I'm saying. And he knows how to handle himself in every area. He knows how to talk to the kids. He could be with the hood people. He could be with your mother. He could be with your grandmother. He could be, and everybody be like, I like him. That is an, or that's a rare type of artist to find.
Yeah.
That he could be with young, old, across the board, any nationality, race, ethnicity, anything, and accept it.
You know, he kind of reminds me of how Heavy D was able to mix in different crowds, same type of atmosphere,
yeah,
same type of attitude, able to
cross
mix. And a lot of that comes from knowing who you are and not trying to change for anybody, but be who you are and deal with it.
Yeah.
And that comes from him honing his craft, you know, figuring out what works for him, what doesn't work for him, and putting himself in a position to be a better artist. You guys have to work. You guys really can't just sit around and just drop records and think, well, I'll drop this record tomorrow, and then next week I'll drop a new record. No, you got to work that record. You got to grind that record. Because once a label spends money on you to drop a single, they're not going to drop a new record next week. You have to work.
Those days are gone. The internet has changed the music industry, has shifted it in a 360 degrees from when we were working at labels. They are no longer giving advances the way they were. They are no longer putting in, because that was the big thing. You get signed to a label, you get advances, and oh my God, those days are gone. Like you just said, they may get
say that again very slowly, sister. Say
those
that again. They don't get that.
Those days are gone. Like you said, they're giving out singles deals. 99 and singles, the last time I checked, you could buy a single for 99 cents. So you have to make you have to sell quite a few singles to recoup. And you better not travel or do anything. Really, from day one, a record label is nothing but a bank. Or better yet, it's a loan.
Hold on, say that again, sister. Oh, say that very slowly.
It's not even a bank. It's the loan company. It's the
high-end loans.
It's not the bank. It's that payday service that you see on the corners in different neighborhoods. That's
borrow
the payday.
Borrow 100, pay back 400.
That's what I'm saying. So that's pretty much what the record label is. You getting everything that you get. There is someone calling the accounting department, writing out every dime that you get. And if you don't sell, you may get a second album deal, possible. But with that second album, if that single from that second album isn't performing, then it's not even an album. They will write it off. They'll rather write it off and go on to something else, and you can go and try to make it and do what you got to do. Because a lot of people,
want
to get signed to a label. Okay, labels aren't signing people. Labels are not. Every artist right now that is from pop, rock, R&B, hip-hop, rap, name one label in the past 5 years that has developed an artist that's on the top of the charts.
That's right.
Every artist that a label signs, they pretty much broke themselves, and then the labels came to them and gave them a deal. They didn't break Cash Money and Lil Wayne. They didn't break Nicki Minaj. They didn't break Iggy Azalea. They didn't break, I'm trying to name everybody that's on the top. Bitch Homie Quan, J. Cole, all these people.
Meek Mills, none of them. No.
Meek Mills, no label developed them. They was doing their own thing. And then when the label saw how they were doing their own thing, then they came to them because labels are not doing what Motown, Clive Davis, and all that did back in the day. There's no development.
Cost too much.
And that's almost a good thing and a bad thing.
I agree with that. We're going to get in that in a second. I want you to explain to people, when we come back after this break, we're going to go into this. We're going to talk about the difference between marketing and branding. And a lot of people don't really understand that. There's a difference between marketing yourself and being able to be brandable with other big brands. So, you know, right now we're getting ready to go into a song which actually fits what we were talking about, Geth Boys, Mind Playing Tricks on Me. I definitely want to go into that because this is where you guys are. You guys are not understanding. This is smoke and mirrors. Before we hit that, we definitely want to talk about where we're going, what we're going to do, and how we're going to get there. When we get back, we're going to talk about marketing and branding. You're listening to Cultures Inc. Radio, where Urban Culture lives. Give me that joint.
I sit alone in my four-cornered room, staring at candles. Who got me? We're on the radio, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. The feature's here. At night, I can't sleep. I toss and turn. Candlesticks in the dark, visions of bodies being burned. Four walls closing in, getting bigger. I'm paranoid, sleeping with my finger on the trigger. My mother's always stressing I ain't living right. But I ain't going out without a fight. See, every time my eyes close, I start sweating and blood starts coming out my nose. It's somebody watching the act, but I don't know who it is, so I'm watching my back. I can see them when I'm deep in the covers. When I awake, I hear a car burning rubber. He owns a black hat like I own, a black suit and a cane like my own. Some might say take a chill, B, but I can't, G, cause there's somebody trying to kill me. I'm popping in the grip when the wind blows. Every 20 seconds got me peeping out my window. Investigating the joint for traps. Checking my telephone for taps. I'm staring at the woman on the corner. It's messed up when your mind is playing tricks on you. I make big money, I drive big cars, everybody know me. It's like I'm a movie star, but late at night, something ain't right. I feel I'm being tailed by the same sucker's headlights. Is it that move that I ran off the block? Or is it that clown last week that I shot? Or is it the one I beat for $5,000? Thought he had cane, but it was gold, metal, flower. Reached under my seat, grab my papa for the suckers. Ain't no use to me lying, I was scared than a monster. Put some left in the Popeyes and Bell Dot quick. If it's going down, let's get it over with. Here they come, just like I figured. I got my hand on a chrome-plated trigger. When I start, I'll make you start giggling. Three blind, crippling, crazy senior citizens. I live by the sword. I take my boys everywhere I go because I'm paranoid. I keep looking over my shoulder and peeping around corners. My mind is playing tricks on me. Day by day it's more impossible to cope. I feel like I'm the one that's doing dope. Can't keep a steady hand because I'm nervous. Every Sunday morning I'm in service, praying for forgiveness and trying to find an exit out the business. I know the Lord is looking at me, but yet it still is hard for me to feel happy. I often drift when I drive, having fatal thoughts of suicide. Bang and get it over with. And then I'm worry-free, but that's nonsense. I got a little boy to look after. And if I die, then my child will be a bastard. I had a woman down with me, but to me it seems like she was down to get me. She helped me out in this, but to me she was just another chick. Now she's back with her mother. Now I'm realizing that I love her. Now I'm feeling lonely. My mind is playing tricks on me.
This year, Halloween fell on a weekend. Me and Ghetto Boys are trick-or-treating. Robbing little kids for bags. Still a little man got behind our rags. So we speeded up the pace, took a look back, and he was right before our face. We were in for a squab, no doubt. So I swung and tried to take him out. He was going down, we planned, but this wasn't no ordinary man. He stood about 6 or 7 feet. Now that's the creep I be seeing in my sleep. So we triple teamed on him, dropping them fifth ward bees on him. The more I swung, the more blood flew. Then he disappeared, and my boys disappeared too. Then I felt just like a fiend. It wasn't even close to Halloween. It was dark as death on the street. My hands were all bloody from punches on the concrete. Aw, oh, man, homie. My mind is playing tricks on me.
Welcome back, y'all. This is Culture Zine Radio Network, where urban culture lives. You know, we're talking to Charlene about, you know, all these different projects and how these things work. I wanted to really get into some meat here and talk about what's the difference between marketing and branding. I've been fortunate enough. I graduated from UCR with a degree in marketing and branding, so I understand. But a lot of these kids don't understand just because you have a hit. One, it doesn't make you brandable. Being marketable and being brandable are two different things. Can we talk about what the difference are and how do you become brandable?
Okay. Marketing is the tools that we use to promote something. Marketing is using the elements like street promotions, videos, radio promotions, touring. That's marketing. Those are the elements we need to market any brand, company, an artist. The brand is what's left after the marketing and what is the sustainable. So I can, for example, with Nike, we could put it on a flyer, we can go out in the streets, yell it through megaphones, post up, pass out postcards saying that this tennis shoe is the best looking, comfortable shoe ever. Once you put the shoe on and become, and fall in love with it, then that's the brand. Marketing leads you to the product, but the brand actually sustains after marketing is gone. And you become what the consumers want. And pretty much that's what marketing should lead to, but the end result is you want to become a brand. You should be able to hold your own and have consumer loyalty after what marketing is done. You want consumer loyalty.
Okay, so let's say I have a song and I'm talking about wearing tennis shoes like we used to do back in the days. Let's take my Adidas, for example. It's a perfect form of marketing and branding. When Run DMC did my Adidas, everybody in the street was wearing Adidas already. But what drew them, of course, you know, I'd give Russell his props on that, but what drew them was there was this brand of shoe that every neighborhood cat was wearing. And let's be honest, Run DMC was basically dressed after the big time dope dealer. They've never hit for
that.
So
yeah.
Right. So
they was dressed
you get this guy,
in their environment, yes.
Right. They come from their environment. So you got this big record with this group, and then Russell gets this idea to go, you know, while we're wearing Adidas, let's approach Adidas about a brand. How do you attract a brandable product to you?
I'm glad that was a perfect example, because guess what? Like you said, Run DMC was copying what they were seeing in the neighborhood. Now, the Joe Blow that's on the corner that's wearing the same identical outfit that Run DMC is wearing can't go to Adidas and say, I'm wearing your outfit and I'm influencing a lot of people in my neighborhood to wear this. What can we do? Adidas is going to be like, you're not going to get past the reception area. However, Run DMC, this group that not only are attracting people, they are doing something. They're actually influencing people, and their brand is almost iconic in a way, moving up to Adidas level. So it's
right.
Almost a thing of Russell was saying, well, you know what? We have this marketing tools over here. We have videos. We have streets. We have clubs. We have, you know, touring, that we have a lot of people drawing to us. Let's go to this brand, and you have television and magazines and advertisements. Why don't you join our brand over here and merge all these worlds together?
Correct. Guys, just like Puffy doing Ciroc. That was a brandable product for them. They bought into Puffy's brand, and Puffy sold their brand to his people.
Exactly.
So you have to create that product. Right. And so you're not going to get picked because you got a hit record. It's because you control elements of a culture that make it easier for them to market to. So if you have this cultural stand, doesn't mean that you have the hottest record, but you have a brand that represents a certain Jay-Z, you know, 50, Drake, you know, even E-40 with his new alcohol. These things become a certain brand, and they go,
but they didn't do it overnight.
I want that.
It didn't, but it didn't come overnight. And the other thing you have to think about, if you the type of artist, and not every artist is going to be able to do something with a Fortune 500 company. That's just realistic. But again, it goes back to what we've talked about from the very beginning. A lot of artists, it's 100 people in the room, maybe three-fourths, and it's going to be hard to be like, how can three-fourths of a person in their room that's trying to be a rapper or an entertainer is going to hit? And it's just realistic. And even going back to Drake doing something with Sprite, or it's like it takes a while. It's not going to happen overnight because you have to prove that you are a brand. Because everybody comes out and you marketable and you can be marketed, but that's still, you have to see if you are going to be a brand.
Say that again. You're marketable, but that doesn't mean you're brandable.
Yeah, you're marketable, but you're not a brand. Jay-Z, think about it from the Blueprint. I mean, Reasonable Doubt. That was when I still, from beginning to end, one of my favorite albums. But when he first came out, Reasonable Doubt, he wasn't a brand. Everybody knew Jay-Z, but he didn't start moving into the being a brand until, you know, a few albums in. That's when they acquired, you know, the kids and started doing the rock and all that other thing. But in the beginning, he was marketable, but he started moving his way into a brand.
Right.
50 Cent, he was marketable, but, you know, he didn't move himself until he started leveraging himself into a brand.
And he was willing to take some risks to create that brand.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes you have to do that. You have to go with smaller companies.
The vitamin water, he didn't get paid from that. He took stock in it. So, you know.
Right.
And that was one of the best moves ever in his entire life. He doesn't have to pick up a mic ever again, which we see that now, which he's moving into television. And, I mean, you know, everybody like, when are you going to put out an album? I don't have to. You don't really have to. I'm just
kind of like same attitude that Dre has with, I'll come out with that when I want to. I just got almost $500,000.
Yeah, everybody like, when is the Chronicle? You know, when you come, he could really care less.
But you have to earn it. You're talking 10, 15, 20 years of work, you know, and these guys don't get that. I have another question. It has to do with touring, because I know you helped set up some tours. How important is the promo tours to help you get to the bigger tours? Taking those shows, and maybe you not opening up for the biggest artists, but opening up for some of those smaller artists like you, doing the collabs, which, you know, actually I have to give Charlene some credit on this. I remember I was at a label, and we were trying to break an artist, and she was like, well, you need to get somebody. You're trying to break a record in the South, but nobody on the South is on this record. How come you don't do a collab with one of those smaller Southern artists, have him break it in his area, and you break it in yours? And, I mean, we were all young. We didn't really know. A lot of this was trial and error.
Yeah.
But it worked.
Yeah.
And it made a lot of sense. But a lot of people don't understand how important those collabs are. They help you on your tours. They help you on your promos. And they help to market the product for people. People like Charlene is trying to market your record in Atlanta, and you're in, you know, the Bay Area. You don't have any push in Atlanta. So you got to get somebody from Atlanta. So when you go down to Atlanta and do some shows, and then when you come back on the tour, all of those things have helped people like Charlene break those records in the South because she's able to talk to those DJs. Talk about those kind of things.
Touring is definitely a huge factor in one of the elements in marketing. It helps develop your skills. I don't care if you're performing in front of an audience of 3 people or audience of 300 or 300,000. You should be having the same energy, style, charisma, everything to win over the audience. Because in a 300,000, when some people want to say, I want to be in a big arena, guess what? You might only get 3 fans, but the smaller that you first perform in front of, those might be some of your forever fans from day one. I hate people, hate artists, who only want to perform in big venues like an IE, a House of Blues, or a convention center, or this or that, and they only want to jump from zero being in my mama basement or your homeboy's studio to I need to be in front of thousands of people and skip steps. Because you need to know how to master stage, and you need to know how to make everybody in a room notice you, be into you, and leave out and say, you know what, everybody in this room is a fan. And a lot of people, a lot of these new artists want to spend money, and that's another show, want to spend money, and I need to be on the stage with Snoop, or I need to be open at foot, Lil Wayne, or I need to be an opening act for Neo. And instead of taking that money, I need to go and open up for T.I. And when you were saying collab with a small artist, well, some people would rather go, I need to go and do this with Lil Wayne, versus saying, I need to grind in my area, build up my audience. I don't care if it's the opening of a gas station, the opening of a turtle race. I don't care. Everybody, you need to be performing and getting yourself out there and mastering performing. Because there are a lot of people, and a lot of them now, that are on top of the game and put on some of the worst shows I have ever seen. And it's really sad because I look at some of my cousins that are young, and some of the rappers that they're into, and when you see the shows, you're like, oh, I'm so sorry for you guys, because y'all don't even know this show when y'all see it, and I have to spend money, and you really don't. I'm just serious. It's like, oh my God, y'all don't even know this show. This is horrible. This is garbage. But this is what, because there's no development, and because it's a hit song, and so it's like, it's just, I'll put an example. I will give an example. Did you watch some of the award shows? Even the award shows back in the day, like grandpas, anything, or grandmas, but the award show, when you look at some award shows from the 90s, where it was like, oh my God, and you look at award shows now, it's like, it's pretty much, and it's sad to say, you almost have to have the artists, the talent that are from the 90s to have them on award shows today, because they're the ones who pretty much make the award shows. I'm not saying
that's
any
true.
Name, but
that's
if
true.
You see an award show
right.
and you don't see any artists that were from the 90s really on the show is dead. Because the new talent is like, ugh, just ugh. Even Kanye, when you're like, well, he's new, but he was developed by, you know, the Jay-Z's and all that. I get Kanye, like, he's almost a throwback to the way shows used to be, putting together a show.
But he grew up in that whole Chicago B-boy era, you know, going back to, you know, when... You know, when you know them cats were young and they were all struggling to do what needed to be done. He broke out. He's part of that. But you got to remember, Kanye is one of those poets that turned hip hop artists, like most cats.
Yeah.
Talib Kweli. Yeah. So there's a difference. I really want to thank Charlene because there's so much more that we want to cover. The branding part, the sponsoring. I'm gonna bring Charlene back probably a couple times, guys. This is part one. Trust me. I'm going to have Charlene on here a whole lot more because there's a lot of things that I want to talk to her about. And I'm trying to let her talk without interfering because we have the same background, but you have to hear from the people who control the checks. Right. The people that control the checks, the people that made these situations. We're getting ready to go out on this Drake joint that you marketed coming up. But there's a lot of things that I want to talk to you about. And I definitely want to structure some situations, maybe even bring you back to do some roundtable. But I'm going to definitely have you on a part two coming up real soon
because
there's a lot that we got to cover. And there's some things that she really didn't talk to you because she didn't get a chance to get into it. But you guys really need to go back and listen to what she's telling you because this is marketing and branding 101. It gets knee-deep and waist-high. This is how you make it. It's not because you've got, you know, this person on your record or that person. It's the power behind the throne, not the power on the throne, that gets you in those awards and even helps you win those awards and those records going platinum because people like Charlene and like my guest last week, you know, Rashawn Cooley, these guys that sign you, these guys that break you, these guys that put you in the situations, it's these people that you guys really need to understand how this game works. This is the reason why I'm doing this show, because I want you guys to understand the kind of avenues it takes to make this work, and I'm very appreciative because these are my friends, my personal friends, coming out and telling you guys game that you're not going to learn anywhere else. So please stay tuned. The Coaches Inc. Radio Network, we got a lot of things going on. We're going to definitely bring Charlene back. We're going out on this Drake joint. With that, I want y'all to understand, he may not call when you come, but he's always on time. Peace and love.
Gotta do what I gotta do. All my exes live in Texas like I'm George Strait, or they go to Georgia State where tuition is handled by some random nigga that live in Atlanta that she only see when she feels obligated. Admitted it to me the first time we dated, but she was no angel and we never waited. I took her for sushi, she wanted to, so we took it to go, told him don't even plate it, and we never talked too much after I blew up, just only hello her, happy belated. And I think I text her and told her I made it, and that's when she texted me and told me she prayed it, and that's when I text her and told her I love it, and right after text her and told her I'm faded, she asked What have I learned since getting richer? I learned working with the negative to make for better pictures. I learned Hennessy and enemies is one hell of a mixture. Even though it's dub, girl, I'm still f***ing with you. Damn, is it the fall? Time for me to revisit the past. It's women that called us, albums to drop, this liquor involved, there's stories to tell, we've been through it all. Yeah. Interviews are like confessions. Get the f*** up out my dressing room, confusing me with questions like, do you love this shit? Are you high right now? Do you ever get nervous? Are you single? I heard you, your girl, is it true? You getting money? You think the you with is with you? And I say, hell yeah, hell yeah, hell yeah. Can right, can right, all right. And we say, hell yeah, hell yeah. So much for being optimistic. They say love is in the air, so I hold my breath till my face turn purple. Keep a few bad bitches in my circle. Mine sang like ain't no curfew. If you wave, then I will serve you. I flew jet, she flew commercial, but we still met. Later that night, after my session, she came over. I was aggressive and she was sober. I gave her a pill, she started confessing and started undressing and asked me to hold her, and so I did. But that was last month, and now she's texting me asking for closure. Damn, she say this shit gon' catch up to me. I keep tissue paper. We eat each other whenever we at the dinner table. She say she hate that she love me, and she wish I was average. Sometimes I wish the same, and I wish she wasn't married. Promises, I hope I never break them. Met a female dragon, had a fire conversation. But interviews are like confessions. Get the fuck up out my bedroom, confusing me with questions like, do you love this shit? Are you high right now? Do you ever get nervous? Are you single? I heard you, your girl, is it true? You getting money? You think the you with is with you? And I say, hell yeah, hell yeah.